Hey, how many of you have already on your phone have the YouVersion app that we do our... Okay, we're trying something cool, and I'm just letting it out of the bag if you want to see it today. And you have permission to get out your phone and do this right now. If you look on your YouVersion app right now, look on the menu. In the menu, you'll find events. On events, you'll find all of today's notes right there on YouTube, on the YouVersion. And we're going to give that a whirl and see if we can... I'm not committing to it yet, but we're going to give it a shot because we used to do the message notes. And we're trying to cut down the contact points of handing out stuff. And so we have not done those since we've been back in person. And so we think this may be a way. But on YouVersion, on your YouVersion Bible app, go to events. And events, because you're here, it locates you. You should see Believers Church. And all I ask is that you don't cheat. It already gives you all the answers and everything. But there you have the notes. And you can save those notes in your notes. If you figure something out we don't know about, please let us know. Also want to let you know, too, emphasize what Melanie said. Next week you're going to be getting a 3x5 card, and I want you to, let me just ask you this, and if you write this generally, please don't take this as an offense. I'm just going to use it as an example. If you generally write on a prayer request or tell somebody, God, just bless my family and me, and then unspoken prayer requests, don't do that. Actually, like Melanie said, put some time into it. Ask God. If you've got and specific needs, list those. I don't ask you to list them so we know them. I ask you to list them because there's just a step of faith that we want to take with you. And during those 7 days, we put the cards up front. You can put as little or as much information on the card. If you want your name and people to pray for you by name, then put your name on there. If you don't, then leave that out. During those mornings, we spread those cards out across the front, and I promise you they will be prayed over every day. And then we're going to actually have people praying over them throughout the year, so that 2021 we're going to agree with you. We can come back next year and say, hey, what did you write on your card? Well, here's what I wrote, and here's how God's already answered my prayer. There's something powerful about having a testimony in writing before God even gives it to you. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to start a new series today. Actually, looking forward to 2021. And one of the phrases that I heard, and I actually said, and I really don't like it, but it's you just end up saying it and having to use it, in 2020 was this, what's the new normal, right? What's new normal? What's normal going to look like? Even in the church, we had to change the way we do things. We've had to move the seats apart. Apparently, this side of the room is more comfortable than this side of the room, just looking at it today, so maybe we need to put whatever we got over here. Like, what's the new normal? How do we... have school? Well, you got to wear masks, or you got to do it on the computer, or you got to do both, or you got to do none of them. How do you go to college? Well, you go to class. No, you don't go to class. You know, is in person. Is how do you go in the bank? How do you go in the grocery store? There's some places, and I know friends in California, they have like, they call them mask Nazis. And no matter what you believe about the mask, you know, this guy's job in front of this grocery store in California is to go after you if you don't have your mask. And in the store, he was screaming at people, you know, your mask is too low, it's too high, it's not good enough, it's not the right one. So what's normal? And what I began to think about, the world's trying to tell us what the government's going to look like, what the world's going to look like. Earlier in the month, I read an old quote. And I was going to tell you who, but you'll probably figure out who anyway, but I'm not going to do her the pleasure of saying the person's name because it gets under my skin. But it was a quote, and again, no matter where you fall in politics, the Bible says we're supposed to pray for our leaders. And I stand before you in honesty, whether I agree with either one politically, whoever we have in president, the Bible says we're supposed to pray for them. Why? Because they have authority over our lives, and I want people who have authority over my lives to hear God. That being said, this statement was made by a TV talk show host. It said, it's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you. Then she went on to say, that's called mental illness, if I'm not correct. This was said about Vice President Pence. And when I heard that, it angered me as a Christian. But then God kind of stepped me back and says, but how many of your people in your church believe that? Most of us would go, I would never say that. But if I walk up to you and tell you, God spoke to me and he told me, most of us would go, you would kind of back up, preacher. God told you what? That's right, and you're exactly right. That's what I thought, that's what I said, that's what I did. But, huh, really? You are crazy. God does, something's wrong with you. You see, why? Because the normal for, if you hear God, is you're at best weird. I've been called weird before because I've said to somebody, I just feel like God's laid something on my heart for you. I need to tell you. And they say, that's weird. Well, weird or not, I'm going to tell you. On the worst side, they say, now you're mentally ill. You see, I get the people who are far from God, who don't have a relationship with God, they don't know anything about God. I get that that should be weird. But if it's for you and me, those who know God but as a believer, a loving, gracious, merciful God, we should know that we serve a loving Father who, like any other good Father, speaks to us, talks to us. Can you imagine the relationship with my daughters or your kids or your friends if you never spoke to them? There would be no relationship other than the biological connection between me and my daughters. That's not a relationship. See, the Bible says, even in some people, maybe you've had not a good relationship with your earthly father, and it's kind of messed you up because you don't like hearing from daddy. Well, don't throw God out in that mix. See, so over the next few weeks, as we go into 2021, we're going to talk about this new normal, at least things that should have been normal for us with God. And here's where I get the title. We're going to make this our new normal. We're going to start talking about how God should be relational with us. What are you talking about? You really want me to come and pray for 7 days straight? No, I don't. I want you to pray every day. Not just 7 days. We just set 7 days aside to just kind of give God a week. And whether you have to do it online and pray with us and you can't physically make it here, or you come and, you know, come those days and make it here, then it's just time to give God the first of our year. That we're going to start doing some things and we're going to stop doing some things. But when I heard that question, that statement about hearing from Jesus, that Jesus talked to you, I really want to ask you the question. Do you understand that God does speak to us? And not just from me, because that's the answer I get a lot. Oh, Pastor, yeah, we know. God speaks to us every day through your message. Well, that's humbling and I'm honored, but it's a cop-out. I love you, but it's a cop-out. The Bible even says that what I say here, you shouldn't just take my word for it. You should go and look it up for yourself. There are a lot of people that say a lot of things from the pulpit, and a lot of them aren't true. So I welcome that. Go look. Go check it out. Go. You're able to look and tell me, hey, that you were kind of off there. I'm a big boy. I can take it. But look what the Bible says. In fact, if you are really God's and you really have a relationship with him, and for those of you who maybe don't, this is all new to you, this is what God wants for you. The Bible says you should know his voice. Look what the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 3. It's talking about sheep. We the sheep. Why? Because most of the time we need to be led around and we do dumb stuff. In general, and those of you who show sheep may or may not agree with this, but in general, sheep are fairly dumb. And I don't raise sheep, don't know sheep, but everyone I've ever met was kind of dumb. So that's the thing. That's why God says, we'll use sheep. He could have used something else, but he used sheep. He says, the sheep recognize his voice and come to him when he calls his sheep by his name, and he leads them out. In verse 4, it says, we'll skip a little bit, and it says, and they follow him because why? Because they know his voice. Well, let me ask you a question. Let's get logical here, because the Bible is logical. Can you follow a voice you can't hear? It's not a trick question. Somebody help me out here. No. Can my daughter, who's sitting on the front row today, if I want her to take out the trash, but I never actually speak to her in a voice or write it down or communicate in some way, take out the trash, should I expect her to take out the trash? Well, yeah, sure she should, because I would hope she'd have a little drive to do it, but I can't do it. God doesn't expect that from us. That's why he speaks to us. He says we follow him because we know his voice. It goes even further in verse 5. It says they won't follow a stranger. They'll run from a stranger. Why? Because they don't know his voice. Now, I don't know if you've ever, matter of fact, this happened to me in the fire station. We had some of our fire guys over there. I was spending the night. I stayed up one night. We had something going on in town, and I spent the night at the fire station. And you fall asleep, and you get deep asleep, and then somebody walked in, and I heard a voice that I didn't know. And it scared me because you're asleep, and you used to be at home in your bed, and you hear this voice, and it kind of freaked you out. Can you imagine being in your house and hearing a voice at night that you don't know? Somebody in the fridge going, well, I wonder what we can have for dinner tonight, and start taking out food in your... That's going to freak somebody out. Why? Because you don't know the voice. See, God talks. And the truth is, God doesn't have a speaking problem. God's not having trouble speaking to us. Yes, he speaks through his word. Yes, he speaks, the Bible says, through his Holy Spirit that's inside of us. In some cases, I have friends that have heard an audible voice. God has no problem speaking. See, the thing is, we have a hearing problem. It's not a speaking problem, it's a hearing problem. It's a listening problem. And there's a parable we're going to talk about real quick, just next few minutes, that Jesus, at the end of the parable, says this in Luke chapter 8. And he said, this is through the Bible many times. It says, anyone with ears to hear should do what? Listen and... So here is God saying, and Jesus himself, not only can you listen, but you can understand. Now, are there times that God's going to tell you something and you feel like he's talking to you and you can't figure out what he's saying? Yes. In the same way as parents, when you're trying to explain to a two-year-old why you can't stick a fork in the electrical socket. They don't care about positive, negative, neutral, AC, DC. The only thing they can comprehend is, ow. And that's the level at which you have to teach them. Well, God sometimes is teaching us stuff, and he's trying to bring us further along. And you may not understand. But here he says you can. A lot of people tell me, well, I feel like God's speaking to me, but he's just too big to understand. Well, no, right here he says you can understand. And Jesus is about to tell his disciples a parable. And we're going to kind of pull that parable apart for the next few minutes and look at it. A parable is simply this. It's a story that Jesus told. It's what we did in At the Movies. You used a story to make to show an example of a point he was trying to teach. Look what the Bible here says. It says Luke 8, verse 5. It says, a farmer went out to plant his seeds. As he scattered it across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. In the next verse, other seed fell among the rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. In verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. In verse 8, still more seed fell on fertile ground. The seed grew, produced a crop that was 100 times as much as planted. And here's the line that we just read in verse 8. When he had said all this, he called out. Notice it says call out. It wasn't like a footnote. He made a big deal of it. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and should understand. You see, in this parable, the seed that it's talking about is the word of God. And God's voice. God speaks through his Bible, but this word, but you just can't say, well, God, the seed is the Bible, and the Bible is only how God speaks. Well, you can't say that. Why can't you say that? Because the disciples didn't have the written Bible. At that time, all they had was the scripts of the Old Testament. So you can't just say it was just a written word. You know, I remember when my mom's dad, my grandfather on that side, he was an electrician and worked in loud environments all his life. So when he got old, of course, he was going deaf. And my grandmother finally convinced him, this was 10 years ago, 15 years ago maybe, convinced him to get hearing aids. But this was the old school hearing aids that looked like you had on headphones, you know, and had big things around your ears. And those headphones used to drive all of us nuts. I mean, those earphones, there's his hearing aids, because they would just squeal. Anybody ever had family that did that? You'd sit in that table and you just hear... And everybody in the room's like, and the person whose hearing aids are doing it, they don't even know it. Well, that was my grandfather. And then we'd all yell at him, and he'd get mad. And what would he do? The worst thing you could do with earphones, he'd go click and turn them off. Because those those, I keep wanting to call them earphones. They're not earphones. Those hearing aids of that day were like zero technology. They were just microphones. So they amplified all the noise, not just voices. The crazy technology they have today can filter out and just amplify voices. And so he would just turn them off. He would just alleviate the problem. Well, see, I think this is what we do to God. That we're in such a noisy environment, and we have so many people telling us what to do, and so many people maybe we've opened our lives up to, or just the environment we live in is so noisy in between our ears that we just shut God off because of the noise. And we buy into this idea, well, that's okay because it's not normal. You're crazy if you hear God. There's something wrong with you mentally if you hear God speak to you. So if we have a hearing problem, and truthfully hearing God, how do we make this new normal? We're going to get into prayer and talk about prayer as we approach 7 days, but we've got to make it normal to talk to God, because I can talk to you all day about praying, but if it's not normal to have a conversation with him, then you're going to have a difficult time with it. If making God's voice and him speaking to us is normal, what we want, according to the parable we just read, Jesus is actually talking about four heart conditions. And I want to start there just before we hit 2021, so we can do a little examination. And I promise you, of the four, one of them will fit. Sometimes I think we kind of move in and out, and we let life tell us where we are. But look what the Bible says. I'm going to use this out of the Message paraphrase. And it's not an exact translation, but I like the way this reads. Look what it says, and this is in Luke chapter 8, verse 11. It said, the seed on the road, and remember the footpath, are those who hear the word, but no sooner than they hear it, the devil does what? Snatches it from them, and they won't believe and be saved. You see, I equated this to that noise my grandfather heard. And don't get me wrong, my prayer used to be, God, every time some new walks in the door, I really believe they can meet Jesus. And it happens a lot. But a lot of time, it's just coming through the door, and if you're new or watching online this morning, and it's just having seed dropped. Every time you come, every time you encounter somebody from Believers, they just drop some seed. And there may be times where you're just not ready, and the devil keeps you from hearing that. But there's this constant noise. And it's not hard for the devil to pollute the ground. And honestly, it really comes in two ways. And I would call it the polluted heart. This is our heart. It's so much noise. You could change it to the noisy heart. But James says in James 1, it says, I get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept what? God's voice. And he's giving it to you. He's trying to plant it in your heart. Because when you do, it's going to save you for eternity. And the Bible tells us that, listen, if you'll push everything else out and let me hear me. But there's two ways I think it happens. The first is the choices that you let in. The choices you make. The choices you think that we let occupy us. And then there's the anger of other people. Because here's the truth. You can't have a new normal until you stop the old. Because the old is always going to win. The old familiar is always going to jump back. And we let things in, or here's the other one. The second thing is what people do and say to you. Let me ask you this question. This has been true with me several times, something I deal with personally. Anybody ever been so you can't think straight? Oh, come on. Like, you can't even, if somebody asked you what is 2 + 2, you couldn't even add 2 + 2 because you were just so angry. Without saying it's what we would call PO'd, right? I just can't even think. Like, you make irrational decisions. You do stupid things. See, this happened to me one time, and I've told this story before, so if you heard it, I'm sorry. But one time when I was waiting in a restaurant for Melanie, and Mabel was in a car carrier, just a little baby. Probably about this time of year, it was cold. I went in to get a table. She was driving her own car. I saw her drive by, and it was pouring down rain. I left her a spot. We pulled into the restaurant. There was a spot right by me, right by the door. I figured she'd pull in there. Well, somebody pulled in front of her, and then so she had to go park a long ways off. And she actually parked in another restaurant's space. But it was pouring down rain. She had Emma and a little baby, and she pulled in, and the owner of that business came out and just chewed her out and made her move, standing in the rain holding a baby. So fathers, dads, husbands, you can imagine. I was ready to kick in doors and like, let's go, come on, you and me out in the parking lot now. You just don't do that. Even if it is your business, you see a lady standing in the rain with a baby and a toddler on her hand, you know, in her arm. I remember Melanie having, that was one of the few times she's had to ask, you need to sit down and calm down. I was so just enraged that I wasn't hearing God going, hey, you might not want to do that. Hey, what about, maybe this person that owns the business has a story that you don't know. And I couldn't hear God at all. See, that's why I think the Bible says get rid of all this stuff, because then you can accept the word. See, the repent to me is not a bad word. When people say, do you need to repent? They say it ugly, but if they're honest, repent's God just giving us a chance to turn around. And God used Melanie that day to turn me around, because I was about to go do something that would have not been good, because I was not happy. I just couldn't see straight because I let the pollution into my heart, into my life. And you can't have that new normal until you stop the old. Look at the second one. The Bible says the seeds and the gravel are those who hear with enthusiasm. I call this the camp high. Anybody ever been to summer church camp? You come home, or you go to our kids, the youth go to a summer conference, and they come back and they're fired up for about 2 weeks. Then it just goes, because you can't live off just that enthusiasm. The enthusiasm doesn't go very deep. It's only another fad. There's one moment of trouble, and it's gone. Like you hit an old friend, an old fling or an old habit, and you fall apart. This is the distracted heart. This is God. Easily I can be turned away. I was going good, and this is me and my thought process a lot of times. This is the rabbit. Ooh, squirrel, rabbit, ooh. And then I forget where I'm going. The devil does this all the time. There's an example, and you need to understand the devil will do everything he can, throw all of hell in front of you to direct you away from God. Look what the Bible says in Luke chapter 10. This is Mary and Martha. If you remember this story, Jesus is in their house. And it says, Mary, who sat before the master, hung on every word. But Martha was pulled away. Martha was trying to take all the religious things that said, you need to do this, you need to do this, you should prepare food, you got to have it this way. And Mary said, no, I know what I got here, and I'm not leaving. Because she was not allowing herself to be distracted. But see, you need to know this is the truth. To hear God's voice, you have to turn something else down. We live our lives at such a high level. Everything's wide open. Work's demanding. Relationships demanding. Kids demanding. If you've ever been into a house with a lot of little kids, it's loud. Those of you who are elementary school teachers and the child care people, I don't know how you do it. Like, if you're walking into the elementary school lunchroom over here in lunchtime, it's like 2 hours of, ah, and it doesn't quit. They can have silent lunch, and all you hear is, and it's just screaming loud. There's so much going on. The only way you can hear something is when they, hey, listen, and something has to go down before you can hear. See, a lot of our lives are that way. You got to turn some stuff down. Is it social media? Is it TV? Is it maybe your work? Maybe you need to just back off a little bit. Maybe that 70th, 80th hour of work may need to take a break for a little bit. You've got to turn some things down. The next one, the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, and the seeds that fell in the weeds, well, these are the ones who hear, but then it gets crowded out, and nothing comes of it as they go about their lives worrying about tomorrow, worrying about making money and having fun. This is the immature heart. And this is not a slam, because all of us are immature. We're all babies at one point in life, and you're all babies at one point as you serve God. See, what do the weeds speak to in this? The weeds speak to neglect. If you saw our, we were so excited. We moved into a new house last year. In the spring, we planted a new garden. And I was calling, I remember talking to Jason and somebody, like, I need the nastiest weed killer you got. Like, I'm going to nuke this stuff until Jesus comes. And finally, we just gave up. Because I didn't put the work into the ground. I just went in, tilled it up, started slapping plants down. The things we wanted to grow didn't grow. The things we didn't care about grew. And the weeds took it over. And finally, we just like, the heck with it. Like, call somebody. Like, Jason, you got corn? Yeah, bring me some corn. You got, who's got tomatoes? Bring me some, because I forget it. It speaks to neglect. It's not that you don't care. It's just that, like, you don't know what else to do. I don't know. God, I got to grow up, but I don't know how. You see, if you're still talking like an adult, I mean, talking like a teenager as an adult, and we all have those people we know, and if you're this person, I am speaking to you. You're 35 and still hanging out in the club at Boomers, I mean, not Boomers, the whatever the club is in Statesboro, and you're hanging out with the 19, 20-year-olds, you need to go somewhere else. It's time to grow up, right? Okay, y'all either are mad at me or don't agree. One of the two. See, God says of us, I want you to hear me. I want you to grow up, but I can't talk to you because you still are acting like a baby. We all have that baby voice. We've had lots of babies here recently, and I love every one of them. I guess they're in the baby room there. But we all do the same thing. Can you imagine if we talked to each other like this? Hey, Ben, how are you doing today? You look so cute in your little shoes there. Those new little, you got those for Christmas, didn't you? Has your mommy been good to you today? What if we talk to people like that? See, God wants us to look down and go, hey, man, how are you today? What's going on? Yeah, you want to talk about something complicated? We can do that. You want to just talk about how tired you are? Yeah, we can do that. But God says, no, I can't. I have to go, are you sleepy? Do you need a nap? It's time for your... See, that's not because God thinks we're dumb. God says, you just need to grow up. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, listen, I got to feed you with milk because you can't handle the steak. You're going to choke on it. And you're still not ready. You see, maturity comes when the excuses stop and the changes start. Yeah, tweet that one out. It hurts. We can all say what we want to, but until you stop the excuses, I really would, and the fire guys would appreciate this, and I can't say it. I'll tell y'all later. But Chief Crider says something every time they're training. He wants you to go to a certain aisle and get a certain thing. Remember what it is? Y'all think about it. And he would always say it. What he's trying to say is stop making excuses. You're not going to get any better at this until we stop making excuses. Because here's the beauty. You can try and fail. You can try 7 days of prayer, 7 days restart and pray and make it one day. But you tried. You can say, Clint, I'm gonna read that Bible with the program and read it in a year, and you may make it 5 days. Good. And you may stop for a month. Great. Come back on the 41st, 42nd, 43rd day. Start. I would rather you read one verse a day than nothing at all. Start. Let's grow up. In the coming weeks, we're going to start talking again about grow groups. In January, we're launching the Growth Track back. That's our kind of our membership, get you on the team, and then help you find your place to plug in. That's coming back. We're going to get these things going again. Get around people and stuff that matures you, because maturity comes when excuses stop and changes start. Look at the fourth one. Says, but the seed fell on the good earth, and these are good hearts who seize the word, notice what's highlighted there, and hold on no matter what. They hold on, sticking with it until there's what? What's harvest? Change. Wouldn't it be disappointing if you threw a whole lot of corn seed in the ground and come back, months later and it's still corn seed? That's what this is talking about. See, change didn't happen, and it just staying the same changes when corn. The stalk grows, the ear develops, and you can pull it off, and there's fruit there. And we make excuses why it doesn't happen. But what this is, and I think Jesus was talking about a prepared heart. The Bible talks continually about a prepared soil, a ready soil of the heart, the soil of the heart being ready and ready to receive it. Because here's the truth. And Ben, you guys can come on back. God's voice becomes your normal when it's routine. Hear me. God's voice is not, every time he speaks to you, it's not just, oh, there's God again. It's, wow, God again. But God's voice becomes your normal when it's routine. Familiar happens when there's relationship. See, the Bible talks about us and God. He says, I want more than anything to have a relationship with you. To be able to have a conversation with you. I want to call, and when I call, you don't have to look at the number to see who it is. Right? Ushers, you guys can go ahead and do the lights too. But how many of you have, and I have my phone here, and I wish I had thought of this, but like the phone rings and it's a number we don't know, and it's, you know, it's like some brother in Kingston, Jamaica likes to call me. Right? Like I don't know anybody in Kingston, Jamaica, and he probably is not going to give me something for free, right? Or we get phone numbers we don't know, and if you do, like, I don't answer numbers I don't have most of the time. But I know, and I have a ringtone for Melanie, and I know when I hear that ringtone, I pick it up. And I don't go, who's this? You're who? You're married to who? Me? You really? We've been married how long? 21 years? Yeah, I should probably know your voice by now. See, I don't do that. I don't do that with God either. But the only way that happened is when it became familiar, and as I just let God develop a relationship with me and me with him and learn the voice. We're going to close with this scripture, this story. I'm going to tell you the story. This is the end of the story, but the beginning of the story is there's Samuel and Eli, and Samuel's working basically as an intern for Eli, who's a priest, and God's trying to tell Samuel something. So God audibly says to him, hey, Samuel. Samuel gets up, goes to the priest, because to him it sounded like that familiar voice. Eli says, hey, nope, not me. It happens again. And a third time, this is what happened. So he told Samuel, go again, lie down, and if someone calls again, say this. Yes, God, speak. I'm listening. So Samuel went back to bed in verse 10, and the Lord came as before Samuel, Samuel. And if we could get this one verse right here, and Samuel replied, yeah, Daddy, what's up? Talk to me. Then prayer life would change forever. Your new normal would become that easy, just like answering the phone. That's my prayer for you today. That's my prayer for us in 2021. That when somebody, one of us goes to somebody else or go to each other, hey, I was praying. God, I felt like God told me something. Instead of going, whoa now. Instead of doing that, we can go, what does Daddy say? What you got? It doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't fall under some spiritual charismatic label. It's just, hey, I talked to Daddy and he asked me to share, give you a message. Or maybe that message is for you and maybe you need to listen to yourself. Stop making excuses so maturity can happen. Turn some stuff down so you can hear him. And stop doing the old things so that God can create a new normal in you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name. God, for those in the sound of my voice, both here and online, Father, that would say, Clint, I don't know God. I've never met Jesus. The Bible says, and we never leave here without doing this, the Bible says if you just simply say something like this, say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior and everything that you've done for me, and from here on out, I'm going to hear your voice and I'm going to follow you. And I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me even when I was unlovable. And you pray something simple like that quiet right now. I'm not going to call you for it, but I will ask you to grab a card in front of you and drop it in a bucket on your way out to let us know. And God, for all these people who just prayed that, God, love on them. Speak to them. Let them hear your voice clear as a bell. In Jesus' name. For the rest of us, God, turn up the volume. Tweak our ears and the what we hear so that we hear you, that you cut through. Crystal is like a bell ringing, Father. We can hear it for miles. And we follow you, Lord Jesus. We won't follow any other voice. We won't be distracted by the mess that gets thrown in front of us. But, Father, we keep walking. We keep serving. Doing everything we can do, Father God, for other people to hear that same voice, to feel the same love, to receive the same grace, and receive the same mercy. And we thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name.